This will be Paul's Mixed Multitude. It'll be part 6 out of 7 parts. And talking about the need that Israel had not only to believe that Jesus, the gospel of God, who Jesus was, but to believe their kingdom gospel, including obeying. I mean, that was in the original covenant back in, not the Abrahamic covenant. I'm thinking of the, when he gave the introduction, the information about the kingdom that was, he would make Israel into a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. They were to keep his covenant and keep the law, keep the commandments as he commanded them. And Peter, in his first epistle to the Church of God, the Israel of God, in chapter 1, verse 2, he writes, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit." And that we read from Paul's writings that sanctification, or being set apart by the Spirit, comes from believing the gospel of God. And Peter talks about it later on in the book. But he says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience." They still had to obey in order to be saved. I mean, we should obey. We should obey God's will. God's will for us is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth includes behavior as well as doctrine. But for them, that's not the second part of God's. That's the original part. Obey and endure to the end, to in the end be saved. So, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's what Peter says to Israel. Those believers that in the first century, they were the Church of God in Jerusalem, they were sanctified unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But they had to obey, sanctified unto obedience. Remember Matthew 24, verse 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, he didn't have to say this doesn't apply to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles hadn't been preached to or offered a gospel yet until Paul came until Christ came to Paul, I should say, in Acts 9. Israel was still under the same covenant conditions as before. They had to keep the covenant, keep the laws. Israel had agreed to obey all the laws all the time. Look at Deuteronomy 30, and we'll read 14 through 18. This is a startlingly predictive passage. I mean, it tells what Israel should have done, and they did the opposite, you know. "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." Verse 16, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land." There's their future. "In the land whither thou goest to possess it." Verse 17. "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear," and this is Deuteronomy 30, comes after Deuteronomy 18, when they were told that they would hear that prophet that comes like unto Moses, being Jesus Christ, and they didn't the first time, did they? They didn't hear him. They would not receive his word, the most of them, the leadership of Israel and the majority of Israel. "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear," but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to go to possess it. Welcome to the room. So Christ never revealed to Paul to preach to us that the body of Christ goes in to possess the land of Israel. That's not part of Paul's doctrine. That's not part of Christ's doctrine for us that he gave to Paul, revealed to Paul, inspired to Paul to write down in Scripture. We have been promised a house eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A building of God. God built it. And a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's an indisputable difference. So yes, they were sanctified, set apart. But we must not read into that what God did not say. They were not yet saved, Israelites. They were waiting to be saved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know this is review, but it's pertinent. I mean, it's relevant to what we're talking about here. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Got to keep that faith going. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's when their salvation comes, in the last time. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when Christ is revealed, when he comes back and they see him, every eye shall see, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the grace is to be brought to them. Well, they were being called to be saints. That church of God, you know, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. They were the newly believing church of God. They hadn't been the church of God when they were the apostate synagogue. But believing the gospel of God, they became the church of God. They were they just began to be the circumcised, the true circumcision. Not the, as we went through yesterday in the lesson, the, where God narrows it down to who are the children of Abraham. I mean, he starts by narrowing it down. It's not just Abraham's seed, but it's not Ishmael. It's Isaac. And then it's not Isaac's other son there, Esau. It's Jacob. And then you get down to Jesus' day, and it's not those who refused to believe, who didn't keep the law. Romans 2:25, those that don't keep the law are not considered circumcision. They're considered uncircumcision, which is the same as Gentiles. And then you go to Galatians 3. So this is all review. Galatians 3, 7, 6 and 7 shows that only those Jews that actually believed had faith that Jesus was the Christ. Those are the only ones that are the true seed of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. So those that believed, that had been Jews in that apostate synagogue, and they heard Paul preach that Jesus was the Christ, they believed, and they overcame that lack of faith, in other words, that kept apostate Israel from being the church of God. They became the church of God. They became the circumcision, true circumcision. and they withdrew from the apostate synagogues. You can see that in Acts 18, verses 5 through 8. They moved to that house that was joined hard to the synagogue, and some of the leaders of the synagogues of that synagogue believed also with their families, and a great number of them, it says, believed. So they were it's a strange situation, but they were set out of the synagogue, but they were set apart in Jesus Christ, or sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:2, under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, to them that are sanctified, there was something I was going to bring out, but it slipped my mind now. But Paul is writing to former synagogue goers, which were sanctified by the gospel of God, set apart, as it says in Romans 1:1, and as it says in Romans 15:16. So God is faithful, by whom you were called. God called them. 1 Corinthians 1:9, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God called them to be saved saints. About 9 verses later, as Paul briefly reviews what he had preached to them in his visit there, 1 Corinthians 1:18-24, but before they could believe the gospel of salvation, they had to hear Paul preached to them the gospel of salvation. Romans, 10, 14, and 15 makes that real clear. They had to hear him before they could believe it. So if you compare Paul's similar urgings to the Romans in his Roman epistle, Romans 1, verse 6 and verse 7, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So through Paul, Jesus Christ was calling them to be saints. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells them how to become saints, saved by the gospel that he is preaching unto them, just like we are. We're saved by that gospel too, if we believe it. Those Corinthians had been in the covenants of promise by being in the commonwealth of Israel, by blessing Israel in the synagogues on the Sabbaths. But now, Paul was calling them to be saints that were saved, having heard and believed his gospel of Christ, being saved into the body of Christ. And this issue of the name or identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, Paul, he addresses that epistle to a second similar, talking about Corinthians, a similar group that's a wider group, and all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Look at Luke 13:34 and 35. Luke 13:34 and 35. O Jerusalem. This is regarding the name or identity of Jesus Christ. Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Verse 35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that's Zechariah 12:10, when the Lord pours out on them a spirit of grace and supplication, because they're not about to do that now in the castaway state that they're in, the Lo-Ammi state. So, but before reading the next two passages, and we want to review who Peter, James, and John write to. It's important. We got to remember who they're writing to. When James, Cephas, that's Peter, who spoke in Acts 2, James, Cephas, and John, that John is who wrote 1 John, and, well, we'll leave it at that. He goes on to say, who, this is Galatians 2:9, these three, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we, Paul, should go to the heathen, and they, the little flock apostles, should go unto the circumcision. The circumcision. That's the believing little flock, the church of God at Jerusalem. Believing Israel. That's who they were to go to. Paul was going to apostate Israel. Synagogue after synagogue, they were run by the apostate Jews. So let's look at these next passages. Then Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember at the end of Luke 13:35, he said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And here Peter preaches on Pentecost day in the temple, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's referring to the time when the Lord comes back. He just mentioned that what was going on there, the tongues and the signs and wonders, was a fulfillment of Joel 2:28-32, Joel's prophecy about the 70th week, the tribulation coming in. So Peter says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved? And remember that it's Israel's salvation that is in the future. It's not our salvation that's in the future. Ours is now. Well, I shouldn't say it's not in the future. Ours is in the future too. But Israel's is never said to be immediate at this time, or even in Jesus' day. They had to wait until the end of the tribulation. They had to endure to the end, as we read in Matthew 24:13. Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. So he's addressing men of Israel, just like Peter had pledged to do in Galatians 2:9. John pledged to do the same thing, to go to Israel. Look at 1 John 3:23. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we, John's talking to Israel, and he's an Israelite, it's we Israelites, in other words, that we Israel should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. That commandment to love one another was to who John says is us. It's we, not you and me. He was talking to Israel. Remember Galatians 2:9? Calling on the name of the Lord or on his identity is associated with Israel, needing to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Mary, is the Christ, the Messiah of God, the Messiah of their own Old Testament prophecies, such as Daniel 9:25-26. We would do good to read those verses now. Look at 9, we'll start in 24. Welcome to the room. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And then he gives some reasons why, or what's to happen in those 70 weeks. But the word there for weeks means sevens. Doesn't necessarily mean 7 days. And as it works out, the building, rebuilding of the temple and things like that, it shows that it's 70 weeks of years. And what are these? He says, they're determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to one thing is finish the transgression, and two, to make an end of sins, thirdly, to make reconciliation for iniquity, fourthly, to bring in the everlasting righteousness, fifthly, to seal up the vision and prophecy, it's sealed up, and sixthly, to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, and that can be found when the city a king gave order to rebuild the city, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Well, 7 and 62. It's 60, and 2 would be 62, and 7 is 69 weeks. That's all except one of the weeks. Let me get to back to the beginning of 25. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Daniel 9:26. And after 62 weeks, now he's not just starting from zero there, counting it, those 62 came after the 7 weeks that he had, as he listed them before. So after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And if you count it down, you can find that he was cut off after that. He was crucified at the end of the 69th week. But it says, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. You think that has something to do with Christ died for our sins? It does if you realize that our was Israel. It wasn't yet told that he was coming to the Gentiles. But we know later that he did. When he came, he did pay for the sin, die for the sins of the Gentiles too. But it wasn't announced. It was not anathema. What am I trying to think of? It was foreign to them, and it was abhorrent to think that the ones that cursed God, the Gentiles, would be saved, would be offered a salvation. And to beat that, a salvation without Israel, separate and apart from Israel. So he says, after 62 weeks, which is at the end of the 69th week, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Well, 70 times 7, that's 7 sevens, or 7 weeks, that equals 490 years. That's 7 plus 60, is referred to in the 26th verse, 7 plus 60 plus 2, that's 69 years, weeks of years, which is 483 years. And taking an average of the two estimates of when Nehemiah, when the commandment went forth in Nehemiah 2, verses 6 through 8, if you read that, you can hear that the king is telling Daniel to go back and build the city. The commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, it was given. One estimate is in 446 BC, and the other estimate by Bishop Usher is in 454 BC. So if you average those, you start with 450 BC. And to that 450 BC, you add those 69 weeks that would be when Messiah was cut off. That's 483 years. So 450 BC plus 483 years later would be 33 years after the BC, or the birth of Christ. And so that's 69 sevens, and the 62 weeks or 62 start after those 7 weeks in Daniel 9:25. So Daniel prophesied the Messiah being cut off in 33 AD, and he prophesied it hundreds of years before it happened. And that's well within the four years of calendar difference error. Daniel 9:26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And that, if you compare that or put it side by side with 1 Corinthians 15:3, listen to the connection. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, that's Messiah, that's the Greek word for Messiah, died for our sins. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And it sounds a lot like Romans 4:25 too, doesn't it? And Paul said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, Paul was talking to those Jews that had come out of the synagogue, the Jews and Jew blessers that had left the synagogue and met in the house, joined hard to the synagogue in Paul's meeting. And they heard the gospel of Christ and believed it and were in the body of Christ. So according to the Scriptures, that did apply to them. It was in the Scriptures that Christ would die for Israel's sins. And maybe we should look at that. I keep saying it, but let's look in Isaiah 53 and see who it says that Christ died for. Look at verse 11. The whole prophecy is to and about Israel. Look at 6, verse 6. All we Israelites, like sheep, have gone astray. We Israel have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Messiah, the iniquity of us Israelites, all of us Israelites. Not the whole world. You can't read us into that, because we are separated. Israel was separated from us. Israel, in Leviticus 20, verse 24 and 26, they were to be separate. They had to be holy, like God is, to be with God and not with the nations. Deuteronomy 23:9, not to be counted with the nations. And then down in verse 11, we were going to read first. We'll read it now. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that's Christ, justify many. Well, who are the many? He's talking to Israel. He never said that the Gentiles would be justified, so it's referring to the many that would believe in Israel. Shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Not everybody's, it doesn't say there. It turns out that he did bear everybody's iniquities, but it was never announced in the Old Testament. It was never announced in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or in Acts 1 through 8, that Christ died for everybody's sins. I think it was revealed to Paul when he was saved, though. Just by the nature, the sound of the way the Lord describes the rest of Paul's life there in Acts 9:15. He's going to the Gentiles. Now, it doesn't say all the Gentiles, but it doesn't rule it out either. And later, I mean, God was not, I was going to say not unaware of what was going to happen in the future, but that's a double negative. God knew that he was going to send Paul to all people later on. All right, well, let's get back to notes here. We got two lessons to go. By the way, no meeting tomorrow. So, according to the scriptures, did you ever wonder how that applies to us? Actually, it only applied to those to whom it was written. In that dispensation of the gospel, back then, Paul calls it a dispensation of the gospel. Habakkuk calls that period a work. The work. And that's what Paul was sent to, Paul and Barnabas. They were former Jews and Greeks about whom Daniel had prophesied in Daniel 9:26. Before the salvation verses can apply to us, those four verses there in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, before they can apply to us, we have to find a verse or verses that bridge those four salvation verses from a dispensation of the gospel over to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God, so that it applies to us without just being according to the scriptures that it was for the Jews that Christ died for. It was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek according to the scriptures. God supplied that bridge that we were just talking about, the bridge in these verses. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 12 we'll start in. Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. So those that first trusted in Christ, you also trusted. It's the same trust. After that you heard the word of truth. In other words, after Paul, the preacher, was sent, blessed are the feet of those that preach the gospel of salvation, gospel of peace. By grace are you saved. What is the... I forget the 5:1. Romans 5:1. Anyway, the gospel of peace is being justified by peace. We have being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Precious verse. So, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, even though Israel had Daniel's prophecy of Messiah being cut off in A.D. 33, the vast majority of Israel remained apostate, with only the little flock believing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, is the prophesied Messiah, the Christ. And the rest remained apostate. So it was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's who Paul is calling to be saved saints, those Israelites, it would be by believing the gospel of Christ. They would have to believe this new gospel that started with Paul's salvation. He said it was in him first, and that it was a pattern for those of us that come after Paul. There's no getting around it. So those Israelites that would believe Paul's preaching of the gospel of Christ, they were baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Not into Israel, not by water, it was by one Spirit. And it was not into water, it was into the body of Christ. So this is more documentation that Paul was calling the remnant according to the election of grace into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ, which was their Messiah's newly revealed pattern of salvation by which he saved Paul and by which he saves us today. So we're going to take a break now.